Ah, come on, get out of here. Thank you. I'm excited about being here this morning because I really believe that I have a word of the Lord for the body of Christ here. And I don't mean that we don't ever have the word of the Lord for the body of Christ, but I'm talking about going into 2019, what is God saying to us? Every time I speak, I like to have a confirmation, you know, before I get up here. Lord, am I really going to say what you want me to say? And when Eddie started describing me, I thought, who in the world is he talking about? In January, I'll be here for 29 years and loved every year of it. And in February, I would be married for 40 years to my beautiful wife who's sitting on the right. Stand up, let everybody know who you are, baby. In my wonderful family on the front row, support me. Stand up. Come on now. Come on. You only have one arm. I want to make sure I brag about them all. But anyway, if you got anything on your mind, lay it to the side. Because I really want to talk to you from my heart, and I really felt like God gave me a word. And I want to share it with you. And I'm always, like I said, looking for confirmations to make sure it is the word of the Lord. And the first one was the Christmas program that we have with, I don't know how many people come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior during the Christmas program, but I believe a huge number did. And so that just is fantastic. And the other confirmation, a guy sent me, he was a retired Navy SEAL, and a lot of times, you know, I don't know if you know, how many military guys we got in here? I want you to stand up, please. We want to honor you guys. Yeah. When I say guys, I mean men and women, not just men, I mean men and women. Come on, let's hear it for them. Yeah. 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 I believe that we live in the greatest nation in the world, the great U.S. of A. I tried to get them to play a song this morning, and they refused to do it. It's by Toby Keith. Toby Keith, the Angry American. Have y'all listened to that? Boy, that would have been nice. I'd have loved for y'all to have heard that thing, but I'm telling you. My son turned me on to it. I said, boy, last year I walked in, it was all about glory, glory days. Remember when I preached last year at the same time? It was glory days. I said, I got to change everything. So when he showed me that, I said, God, Ben, that's exactly what I want to live by for the rest of the year, is the great U.S. of A. And I think we're living in the greatest nation in the world, in the absolute world. It's like they said earlier, I kind of help oversee the veterans ministry. We got a veteran place down here off of Rivers Avenue that hosts 80-something vets, and one just passed away last week. And they didn't know it for 2 days, because sometimes they come out, sometimes they stay in. You know, you just can't guess when they're coming in and out. And so I'll be doing a memorial for them this week. But they gave their best. And I don't want to never forget them. Never. So let's all stand. And let's all set a pledge of allegiance to the American flag, if you don't mind. On three. One, two, three. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands. One nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Hoo-yah! Oh, I love those guys. I love those guys. And we just got through acquiring another place. It's a one-bedroom, two-bedroom complex that we're trying to put families in. A lot of times when veterans come back, they have places for the veterans, but no places for the families. And what we've done, we've acquired this to try to put the families together and let them live together and not have to separate them because they've been separated for so long. And so we're excited about that and excited about what God's going to be doing with them. And I enjoy working with those guys. I can remember one time this guy's name is Mr. Blankenship. Mr. Blankenship stays in one of the rooms. Any time of the day, you can go there and open that door. You cannot find a wrinkle on his bed. I mean, the pillow's neat. Sometimes I ask her, do you sleep on the bed or on the floor? You know, but it's as straight as it can be. And I remember one time we were doing a Bible study down there, and I'll get on into the Word in just a minute. Y'all go hang with me? Okay. And we were doing a little Bible study down there at the Villas, and after it was all over with, he said, Pastor B, he says, I can't get saved. I said, what? He says, yeah, I can't get saved. And I said, Mr. Blankenship, tell me why you can't get saved. He said, well, I blasphemed the Holy Ghost. I said, well, do you know what that means? He says, no. I said, somebody told you you blasphemed the Holy Ghost and you don't believe you can get saved? He said, yeah. He said, in fact, a preacher told me I blasphemed the Holy Ghost. And I said, well, wait a minute. I said, Mr. Blankenship, I said, do you believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God? He said, oh, yeah, I do. I said, do you believe that he forgives all sins? He said, oh, yeah, I do. I said, if you did that, don't you think that would be considered of a sin? He said, well, yeah. And don't you believe that Jesus Christ will forgive you of all your sins? He said, well, yeah. I said, why don't we just get this straight then? Why don't we just pray and ask Jesus to come into your heart and be your Lord and Savior? He said, well, okay. Prayed with him and accepted the Lord, all excited. He's a great man. Just that kind of stuff they deal with, you know, and you're there. And we just love serving them. We feed them. We clothe them. We spend time down there with them. It's just a wonderful ministry. If anybody's looking for a place to get involved, please give me a shout during the week or something, okay? And it was just so good to work with those guys. So, put everything to the side because I really want you to hear what I have to say. In fact, first thing is Happy New Year. I'm glad I'm leaving this one, and I'm happy I'm coming into another one. Amen? And so there's something that God has laid on my heart, and I want to share with you. And a lot of times I think about it because whenever my grandchildren come over to my house, I think about it a lot of times. I pondered a lot of times. I said, what is it going to be 10 years from now for them? What's it going to be 15 years from now for my grandchildren? I want them to be safe. I want them to, in which they do have a relationship with Jesus. I want them to have just a great life. You know, I want them to feel safe in the great U.S. of A. And so and as I was pondering all this and thinking about all this stuff, the Lord just spoke to me. You know, just gave me a word. And he said, I'm going to show you how to make that happen, B.H. And he said, I want you to share that with the whole congregation at cathedral. So that's what I'm going to do. That's the word. And so it makes me think about stuff like that when you watch them on Christmas morning and how much happiness to have. I would hate that one day we would wake up and we couldn't do that. Or we couldn't worship God freely. Or we couldn't come to church freely like a lot of third world countries today that's getting slaughtered because they start a church and a Christian church isn't like that. I wouldn't ever want the United States of America to turn into that. And so the responsibility lays on our shoulders. Come on, let it hit. I want to hear you say, it lays on my shoulders. It lays on the shoulders of the church. It's our responsibility what happens in this world. Not governments, even though we pray for our government and stuff like that. It's our relationship with Jesus. It's what sets this world up for a victory. Amen? It's our relationship with Jesus, believing him to work, believing him to move, believing to do what he says it'll do, and he'll do it. He's looking for people that will be obedient and do what he tells him to do. And so the confirmation was this seal. So in Philippians 2:14 through 15, it starts off this way. Okay? It says, do everything. Let me hear you say everything.
Everything.
It says, do everything without complaining and arguing. That would be a major victory for the church today. If we would just stop complaining and arguing with one another, oh, how much ground we could take if we would just really begin to love each other. Amen? And it says, do everything without complaining and arguing so that no one can criticize you. Live clean, innocent lives as children of God, shining like stars in the heavens. Think about that. If we would just live like God tells us to live and love each other like God tells us to love each other, He says that we would shine. That we would shine like stars in the heaven. Can you imagine walking around shining like that? Especially on the backdrop of so much sin and darkness that's in this world. The darker the dark, the brighter you become when you go out into the world. Do you hear what I'm saying, church? It's so important that you hear what I'm saying. Because I think God's calling us out of the pews. He's always done it. God's calling us out of the pews and into the world. I said, God's calling us out of the pews into the world. Like Eddie said, I love feedback. Okay? Okay. It says, you shine like stars in the heavens. And also in this section, just prior to verse 15, the Apostle Paul, this is what he's thinking about. What I just said is what Apostle Paul was just thinking about. He says, I dream of a day when everybody on planet Earth will come to know God through Jesus Christ in a personal way. Paul says, I just can't wait for the day when every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Christ Jesus is who He says He is, and people will be in a loving relationship with God. Paul says, as I dream of that day, how many of you are dreaming of that day? I dream of that day. I ponder that all the time, what it's going to be like when every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. I said, Jesus is Lord. Yes. I'm also looking to that day. People will be in a loving relationship with God. Paul says, as I dream of that day. But then he says, he's dreaming of it all the time. We dream of it all the time. But then Paul goes on and carries it a little bit further. He says this, as I dream of that day, if it's ever going to happen and become a reality, we need a plan. Let me hear you say, we really do need a plan. Paul didn't ask himself. He's thinking about the question, how are we going to make this happen? And then he says this, how is that going to happen? How are all of these people who are far from God ever going to come to know Him? What a plan. What a plan. And then he says in the preceding verses, all the way from the beginning of that chapter, Paul talking about this. He's saying this. Just preceding this, he says to the people at the church of Philippi, do everything without complaining and don't argue with each other. Pretty simple stuff, isn't it? Stop complaining, stop arguing with one another so that you might become blameless and pure, children of the Father without fault in this crooked and depraved world in which you should shine like stars of the heavens. Paul then begins to talk about the shining concept. That's one of Jesus' favorite sayings. He says, I was the light of the world. Everywhere Jesus went, all the territory. Who are you? Where'd you come from? I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. Everywhere Paul would go, everywhere Jesus would go, I am the light of the world. The visual descriptive is pretty powerful here. I want you to hear what it's saying here. I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. He says that to differentiate, this is the reason he's saying this, to differentiate his identity and power from the other kind of power at work in this world. You know there is I know you've got to be aware of it, that there is a phenomenal, gigantic, cosmic war going on in the universe. Powers going on in the universe. I know you've got to be aware of this, of the cosmic battle in this world against the powers of God and the powers of Satan. One's fighting the other. The powers of God are fighting the powers of Satan. You hear what I'm saying, church? It goes on every day. Every single day it works. Scripture calls it the power of light against the power of darkness. The power of light against the power of darkness. If any of you watch any TV at all. And if any of you watch the news programs, you would understand exactly what I'm talking about the power of evil against the power of good. We see the power of darkness at work every single day. It's evil. We see in other countries, right now, we see in other countries where the leaders are living in splendor, and yet hundreds of thousands of people die every 6 months. The leaders are living high on the hog, as you would say. Just living it up. And thousands of people die every 6 months of starvation in that country. Starvation. That's just, church, that's just evil. That's just evil. We see corruption in governments, embezzlement, and greed. We see it all the time. There is evil at work in this world. And God's saying, I want you to become aware of this, and I want you to do something about it. Amen, church. Now listen to me very carefully. I know what it's like in my own life. Evil. What, Pastor B? I said, I know what it's like in my own life. Don't sit up there looking at me like, I don't know what that old boy's talking about. I'm good as gold. I might say something every now and then to hurt somebody's feeling, but I'm not evil. Oh, yeah, right. Let me explain it to you a little bit better than that. I call it my dark side. It's not like I need to be born again. It's not like I have a relationship with Jesus Christ. But, you know, even though we have a relationship with Jesus Christ, the enemy still comes. And he still fishes to try to catch you on something, to pull you into something you don't need to be involved in. The Bible calls him as a lion, roams around every day, devouring who he may devour, devouring whoever gives permission to me. He will devour them. And so it goes on in everybody's life. Every one of y'all know what I'm talking about, don't you? Amen. Say amen loud where I can hear you. Amen. Yeah, all right. And so I call it my little dark side. Not like I don't need a relationship with Jesus. This is the Bible says, and once you become a Christian, he says your flesh will lust against your spirit and your spirit against your flesh so that you would not do the will of God. We live with that every day. Flesh always trying to get us to do something wrong. In fact, I'm going to give you an example of my dark side. Are y'all ready for this? Are y'all ready for this? Yes. All right, here it comes. I was headed for an appointment the other day. And I had planned every single minute. Start here. At this time I'll be here. And da 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 da. And I reach my what? Destination when I'm supposed to. I was feeling good about myself. You know what I'm saying? And then when I got on Ashley Phosphate, hooyah! After I got on Ashley Phosphate, the light turned red. Well, I was parking behind one other person. And then I'm just sitting there knowing I had plenty of time, and then the light turns green. Normally, when the light turns green, that means you go. Well, I'm sitting there behind this car, and the car ain't moving. Traffic going by me this way. I couldn't pull out. Traffic going by me, trying to keep my appointment. And I go, bam! Car still sits there. Bump. It was a four bumper. Believe me, guys, I have a dark side. Huh? Can you imagine sitting behind somebody, you know you're going to an appointment, and they're doing this. Bump. I have a dark side. And so we all have those little things we deal with in our life. It's not like that we're sinning or anything. It's just the enemy trying to pull us, get us involved in something we shouldn't do and do something we shouldn't do. But we all deal with those things in life. We all see those things. And it happens to everybody. Author Dallet, well, I'm not trying to say everybody does that, but forgive me. I know I do. Okay, thank you. One in this whole place. Thank you. Author Dallas Willard calls it our dark side, and he said it refers to as a readiness to sin tendency. You know what I'm saying? Have you ever been there? Really, sir? Come on, be honest with me. Have you ever been to a place that you really wanted to sin? Oh, yeah. Blow a tire around or something. You know what I'm talking about. Okay, move right on. So he calls it a readiness to sin tendency. And in Galatians, I'm going to prove what I'm saying. Galatians 5:17, it says, "For the desires of the flesh are against the spirit, and the desires of the spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from what? Doing the things God wants you to do." So we have to deal with that little dark side thing right there. We're spirit beings. We're born again. We love Jesus, but they're still a part of our flesh. We're a spirit. We have a soul, and we live in a body. Amen. Amen. But our flesh, sometimes we have to stand guard on all the time because the enemy's going always. That's the door that he will take to try to pull you and get you involved in something you don't need to be, the flesh. And so you have to stand on guard. Now, so here's the question. How are we going to get the job done at the same time? How are we going to do what God's called us to do? And at the same time, dealing with our flesh that's contrary to what God is calling us to do, to shine like stars in the heaven. How are we going to do that? Here we're dealing with flesh every day. We're dealing with situations in our life, and we know God's calling us to shine. Well, that day when I was sitting behind that person in that car, I was not shining. I wasn't shining at all. But God said, "But I got a plan for you. I want you to let your light shine." Well, how am I going to do that, God? I still got to deal with this flesh every single day, and I know I'm supposed to be shining. You got any insight for me? And God said, "Yeah, I got some insight for you." This is what he says. The answer to your problem, BH, and to all of our problems with that, the answer is wattage. Let me hear you say wattage.
Wattage.
Wattage. That's the answer. I'll explain it to you. Hang in there with me. Wattage. Here's the definition of wattage. The amount of God power. Let me hear you say God power.
God power.
The amount of God power operating you as a believer. That's wattage. In other words, how brightly do you shine? Are you a 25-watt bulb? Are you a 50-watt bulb? Are you a 75-watt bulb? Or would you say that with Jesus shining through me, I'm a 100-watt bulb? Now, excuse me. Uh-oh. This is what I want to show you. Where are you at today? Are you here? Are you a 15-watter? Are you a 20-watter? Are you an 80-watter? Think about it. Where are you? Are you a 100-watter? Or are you shining bright as a child of God? it's important that you understand everything God is calling us to do depends on your wattage. It's important that you understand that, the wattage deal. Some of you I know are thinking right now, say, Pastor B, my wattage is low, especially here at the end of the year. All the things that we've come through right now, now we're coming into 2019, and wow, your wattage is low. You're so low at the point that people at your work don't even know that you are a Christian. People in my neighborhood, maybe, this might be you. People in my neighborhood don't even know that I'm a Christian. They don't know that I'm a Christian at my work. They don't even know I'm a Christian in my neighborhood. That's not this. That's that. But God has called us to be here, not there. What's the answer, Pastor B? How do I increase my wattage? I wish I could tell you, but I don't know how. I'm just kidding you. I'm getting ready to tell you how to increase your wattage because it's important going into 2019. You're going to need to know how to increase your wattage every single day, where you will shine as stars in the heavens. Come on, help me out here. As stars in the heavens. Because that's where God's called you to do. He's called you to shine like stars into heaven. And some of it, like I said earlier, some of you are on low wattage. I would think right now, most of us would be there. How can I get ready to go into 2019 and my wattage will be 100 watts? Well, I can shine like the stars in the heavens. This is how you do it. It's going to surprise you a whole lot. Maybe. Hebrews 10:25. Let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do. But I want you to understand the purpose of the church. The purpose of the church is to increase your wattage, that when you leave here, your light's shining so bright they can see it coming from miles down the road. God wants your light to be bright, stay bright all the time. He don't want you to have any 25-watt light bulbs. He wants you to have 100-watt light bulbs burning in you all the time. The Spirit of God is so bright in you that people wonder, what is it about that man? What is it about that woman that's different? I know it's got to be something that pertains to God. You get them asking questions. You get them thinking, what is that their life all about? Let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do. I'm challenging you. Do not neglect coming to church in 2019. If you want to be a 100-watt light bulb for the rest of your life, this is the place to come to get your battery charged. Amen? This is where it happens. I'm not talking about just cathedral. I'm talking about churches all over the city. I'm not trying to pull you in cathedral. I'm trying to pull you in church where you shine bright. I'm just telling you that we're here for you, though, if you want to come. Amen? If you want your wattage to increase, you can come here and get your wattage increased. He'll do it. Listen on. The church. Let me hear you say the church.
Church.
Let me hear you say the church.
The church.
The church is the hope of the world. I said the church, which that's who you are. It's not the building. The church, you are the hope of this world. Yeah. You're the hope of this world. You're the hope of my grandchildren. You're the hope of your grandchildren. You're the hope of the neighbors. You're the light that shines down to everybody. But you got to keep your wattage high. You don't want it to get weak where you're not shining. You got to shine bright, glory to God. I like to shine bright, y'all. I feel something happening. I'll calm down, baby. I won't do it. Cathedral church and every church is wired to empower you to increase your wattage. Just like Eddie was saying about the small groups, it really is. Got plenty of time. Small groups. Listen, whenever you go at it hard during the week, and when you work with people that drain you a lot, you know, it's nothing bad. People are broken. You have to minister to them. But as you minister to people, broken people over a period of time, your wattage gets low. You understand what I'm saying? So you've got to have a place to plug back in to make it happen. And that's what church is about. It's about to increase your wattage. It's causing you to refuel, to go back into the world. We're wired to do that. You've got small groups here like Eddie was talking about. You've got places to serve. You've got the growth track you go to. You go to that, find out what your gifts are, where we can put you in the right place where you can serve, where all your wattage is working at any given time because you found the place that you fit. And when you do that, boy, that wattage just goes sky high. And so you go back out into the world with a full 100 wattage going off on the inside of you. Listen to what it says. This is in Ephesians, let me see where I'm at here. Ephesians 4. Listen to this. Ephesians 4, 12 said this. It is to equip, there were gifts given to the body. Pastors, prophets, evangelists, teachers. It goes right on down. It's in the book of Ephesians. The gifts were given to the church. They were given to the church for a purpose. And that purpose is this. It says this. To equip his people for works of service. So that the body of Christ, listen to this, may be built up. Built up for what? To go out into the world and shine like stars in the heavens. Believe it or not, I have people calling me sometimes, Pastor B, I need you to pray for me. Why? Because I'm the only Christian in here. Pray for you. Pray for I find another job. I ain't praying for you to find another job. Just let your light shine. You know where your light shines the brightest? In the darkest places. Ho, ho, ho. Come on now. Oh, Lord, thank you, Jesus. When Paul says you need to shine to your full potential, shine like the stars in the heaven. Now, listen to this. What Paul is referring to here is the backdrop against where we're supposed to shine. It's the expansive blackness of the universe. We're supposed to shine like that. I can remember, I'm not being moved by that. I can remember I used to be an avid surfer. I still do a little bit of it, but I used to do it all the time. And sometimes we would go surfing at night. Now, we stopped after we found out the sharks feed at night, but before that, we'd go out there surfing sometimes. And I can remember sitting out there in that ocean it'd be black, about like that. It'd be black as it could be. No stars, no moon. It was just total black. Then all of a sudden, a break would come in, and all the clouds would disperse. And my gosh, if you could see, I wish you could have been sitting there with me, how clear and how bright those stars shined on the backdrop of darkness. That's you. That's you. We're called to be lights, like stars, that shines in the heavens. The darker the dark, the brighter you shine. Who do you know? This power, this wattage, is not for you to just go home with. That wattage and that power and that light that's been given you through Jesus is for you to go out in the darkness, the backdrop of sin in this world, and it's for you to shine. 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 That's the will of God for every single one of us. Remember this. Remember the favorite sayings of Jesus himself. I am the light of the world. But now, as Christians, we need to turn around and say, we are the lights of the world. We got to do that. Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father, praying and interceding, calling your name out before Jehovah God every day. Help them, Lord. Help their life to shine like lights and stars into heaven. 70, you've heard me say it a lot of times. 70,000 people die every day. I'm always wondering, did I have an opportunity to let my light shine in any one of those 70,000? I had a biker buddy about 3 months ago. John and Jim, you know who we're talking about. Had a memorial here for him. 6 or 7 clubs were here. Biker clubs are here honoring their brother that fell. He committed suicide. And I had seen him around. We'd go to certain of these events. He was there. And I'm trying to think, Lord, did I have an opportunity to let my light shine for that brother? Did I have an opportunity? Because I was out there. We were out there. Our lights were shining. They've seen us before. I hope and I pray that my light was bright enough and my wattage was strong enough for when that man, right before he took his life, asked Jesus to come into his life. That's what I pray and hope. Because once that's over, it's over, friends. It's over, friends. Let me say this, and I say it with the kindness of my heart. But please, please, after today, realize what God's called you to do. If you are a Christian, stop complaining about the godless environment that you're working in. Stop complaining about it. Why do you think for one moment that God has you where he has you in that situation among nothing but non-believers? And you call me and ask me to pray that God find you another job? No. What I pray is, let your light shine like stars into heaven against that backdrop of darkness. Shine. Shine. Like stars, wherever you are. I'm just about ready to preach myself happy. I tell you, there's nothing more powerful, church. There's nothing more powerful. My prayer is, Lord, make us burn. Make us shine and burn so brightly against the darkness of this environment that we all live in. So that one day, people will eventually say, listen to this. A love like that, a strength like that, a hope like that, a servant spirit like that can only be the power of a God who must be alive and must be well. And just maybe, he could work in my life too. That's what it's all about. If the Apostle Paul was standing right here in the flesh, he would close the service by saying, shine like stars into heaven. Nobody, God only knows how long you and I are going to live here on this earth. Now I'm believing for 102. My wife both operate in agreement. The Bible says, when any two people touch and agree on any one thing, it shall be granted unto them. So Pat and I have touched and agreed that we're going to live to be 102. And when we go, we're going to be watching Wheel of Fortune at 102. And bam, we're going to be gone. But if I live to be what I desire, 102, I want to shine. I want to shine like the stars in the heavens, that people can meet the Jesus that I know and let him work in their lives like he's worked in my life. That's what it's all about. So what I'm going to do in closing, my dad used to have a saying. And your dad probably did, or you probably still do it now. It's only 20 after 12. We're good to go. My dad always used to tell me, listen to me now. Listen to me. Listen to me when I get ready to say. My dad used to tell me, son, whenever you leave, turn all the lights off. Been there and done that? Well, here's what I'm telling you. As you leave this day, going into 2019, leave the lights on. Leave the lights on. Let them shine. Let them burn bright. And watch people come to the altar. Watch people give their lives to Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about, church. That's what it's all about. So, Wattage, let's stay there. Let's stay right there. If you want to, if somebody got control over the lights over at the stage, turn them on. Is that as far as you can go? As it gets darker, tell me what happens. The light gets what? Brighter. So the darker, yeah. Yeah. You can turn them on now. I don't want to walk off the stage. Do you understand what I'm saying, church? Do you understand? Keep that wattage high. Keep that power going. And let's be like stars into heaven against the backdrop of blackness and darkness. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, this is what I'm going to do. Hold on, Doug. I'm going. How many of you are in here today? Maybe you may not have a relationship with Jesus, the one who loves you so much and gave his life for you. He wants you. He wants you. He wants to use you. He wants to change your life and make something great out of it. With every head bowed, please. If you are in here and you do not have a relationship with Jesus, I just simply ask you, before you go into 2019 not knowing him, would you just simply raise your hand with every head bowed, every eye closed, would you raise your hand? Tell me that you're going to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you're going to shine like stars into heavens. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for those people. I pray, Lord God, right now, everybody pray with me. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I am a sinner, and I need a Savior. So I ask you right now, Lord, forgive me of my sin and come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior and my God. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give them an applause. Shout. All right. You got it, bro. It's all yours now.